FM 104 is switched on and I'm joined by psychologist Leisha McGrath. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you so much for chatting to us. And I think a lot of us have been watching the likes of Love is Blind and Love Island. We've all been at some point engaged in these. But what effects can they have on us as people?
Well, I think they can be so consuming for some people. Like certainly when I think back, I'm 45, and when I think back to the first ever reality show, like Big Brother, like, you know, I don't know if you remember the first one, but it was such an enormous event.
Huge.
Like that people were actually, you know, allowing us to film them. And remember, they had like 24/7, people were like filmed sleeping. And you know, as psychologists, it was just so interesting because you're not allowed to do these kind of social experiments anymore. You know, they're frowned upon. So the fact that people were signing up for them, it was all very exciting. And I think now, because, of course, at their root, they make money. That's what they're there to do. And there's so many genres now of reality TV, and there's something for everybody, that people are getting obsessed.
And I think since they kind of started, there's been a lot of conversations around them, as, you know, how they're editing people, but also sometimes unattainable beauty standards as well. Sometimes it's all the pretty people that are put in, or so-called pretty people that are put into these shows. And it kind of is putting a lot of pressure on people as well.
I would agree. And I mean, you know, as a parent, I would think quite seriously about which reality TV shows I would encourage my, you know, younger teens to watch, because you don't want that unrealistic standard set. And there are certain, you know, dating shows where people have been cast, I suppose, and, you know, chosen because they look a certain way, and, you know, they might work out a lot, and, you know, the fair amount of fake tan being used, I'd say, and, you know what I mean, all the embellishments and all the things that are done that are perceived as beautiful, and that cost money and that sell and all that kind of stuff. So I think we have to realise that it's not necessarily, in inverted commas, normal. There's nothing wrong, and I'm in no way shaming anybody, that, you know, that these are all perceptions of what's on trend, what's beautiful, what's attractive, what are the things that people want to be able to attain. But we need to understand that they're somebody's choice to perpetuate this, rather than how everybody looks. And I think we need to, just keep that delineation in mind.
And I suppose we're talking about primarily people watching, but also the people involved. I don't think it can be necessarily healthy for them either, because there's a lot of pressure on them also.
Yeah, I mean, I think the people involved are, you know, they're there for a reason. I think that they have an agenda, whether that's to, you know, for more fame or exposure, to earn money, to, you know, or to write a narrative that had been, you know, told about them in the press or whatever it is. So they're in for an agenda, and they have gone through interviews. And, you know, my understanding, I've never worked on the shows, but my understanding is that there is quite a lot of psychological care that goes on in the background. So they've gone through all of this, you know, knowing what they're getting into now, because reality TV isn't new, of course. So they've gone in, you know, eyes wide open. And then people that are watching, I think, are looking for an escapism. There's a voyeurism. There's a need to connect and see how other people live, what's normal for them, what do they like to eat. You know, it brings people down to a very human level when you think about, like, Celebrity Big Brother, for example. Like, what do people who have, you know, loads of millions, what do they eat? What do they talk about? What do they, you know, it allows us to see the kind of shared humanity in all of us. So I think, whether you're in it or whether you're watching, you're going to get, there's different risks involved, put it that way, but also different things to gain.
You were also chatting about this on Virgin Media as well. What sort of topics came up during that conversation?
Well, I was on the 6 o'clock show, with the lovely Catcha Mia and Brian Downing. And of course, Brian has won it twice and hosted it for a number of seasons. So it was just really interesting talking to them. They both, Catcha, I know, loves to watch like The Housewives and all of those, you know, sort of elevated lifestyles that are maybe unattainable. And she was saying that she's really interested and hooked in the drama and all that kind of thing. And then Brian was talking a little bit about the Big Brother piece, you know, off camera and on camera, about how there was checks and how his advice was really to just be yourself, because you do forget that there's all these hundreds of cameras on you, and that, you know, you will slip if you're in with an agenda. You will, you know, if it's a prolonged period of time, you will eventually slip. So yeah, we were talking a lot about, what does it say about our personality if we watch it, what does it say about our personality if we like to watch people fail or we like to watch people win? And so I was talking a little bit about the dark and the bright side of personality. And, you know, traditionally we're reinforced all the time and encouraged to really shine the bright sides of our personality, that happy, clappy side of ourselves. But just because we're encouraged not to share the darker sides of our personality doesn't mean they're not there. And I'm talking about things like rage and jealousy and narcissism and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, what we need to do is we need to be able to find socially acceptable ways to channel that other darker side of our personality. And I think sometimes reality TV allows us that vent, you know, where we can see other people being jealous, being angry, having a rant. You know, we can see their fall from grace. We can see all these sorts of things, and we can kind of live a little bit through them in a kind of a projection sense. So it's interesting. It's interesting to see, you know, what people respond to. And certainly what I was saying on the show was that it's never the thing. It's always our reaction to the thing. And that is more to do with us than what we're watching on the TV.
That is very true. And also with all these Love Island, Love is Blind, it's all these relationship shows. It then almost makes you look at your own relationship and kind of compare it sometimes, which is not necessarily fair, I don't think.
No, but I think people have a lot of perceptions and kind of notions about what a good relationship looks like and how people should, in inverted commas, be and all this kind of thing. And it allows us to sanity check some stuff. But of course, relationships are so individual, and what you know each couple wants in a relationship is quite different. There's similarities, but there can be a lot of differences as well. So, yeah, I think it's positive if it's sparks conversation and it, you know, certainly highlights anything that's going wrong or unsafe or something like that. I think it's really, really useful. But I think in general terms, comparison is the thief of happiness. And, you know, we really need to just use these shows and these conversations as jumping off points to look at our own life, because it's not about them, actually. It's all about ourselves.
And if you do find yourself comparing yourself to not only the shows, but even in real life, what should you do?
I think that we need to realise that, you know, first of all, what we think we know, we don't necessarily know, in terms of people give us a view of themselves. And that can be on social media, or it can be in person, and that can be deliberate or it can be unconscious, but we never really know what's going on for somebody. So I think it's always useful to have as a kind of a general rule, a rule of thumb, that you don't compare, because somebody who looks like they have it all going on mightn't be actually happy, or they might have loads of health, you know what I mean? And we really don't know the full picture. So I would encourage people, look at what you're reacting to and understand that it's more about you. And what's that telling you? Where can you go with that information? What do you need to do some work on or get some help with or let go of? But it's really more about bringing it home to ourselves and tuning into ourselves and our own wisdom. And our body gives us loads of cues all the time, but because we tend to be busy or distracted or whatever, we don't always lean into those cues. But the more that we do, the more we listen to ourselves, the happier we'll be. And as I say, comparing ourselves to other people, really and truly, as somebody who's had the privilege of sitting and listening to hundreds, if not thousands, of other people's stories over 25 years almost, you know, like, you would be so surprised at people that seem so confident and are miserable, or people, you know, that we just don't know what's going on for other people. So never assume.
Yeah, and concentrate on your own happiness. Find things that you find joy in. Yeah,
absolutely. Do more of that stuff, for sure. Yeah.
So how can people find out more about what you do yourself?
So my website is leishamcgrath.com, L-E-I-S-H-A, and I'm on LinkedIn under that because I do a lot of corporate work. And then I have a very active Instagram account, which the handle of which is @startwith3minutes, 3.
Excellent. Leisha McGrath, thank you so much for chatting to us.
Thanks a million.